following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Great deals on gifts and smoking accessories can be found right now at Wizards. Check out the large selection of Woodwick candles with new lower prices, vaporizers, shirts, hats, and so much more. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards! Because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, episode number 146, here in the throes of the holiday season. I trust most of you who at least celebrate the holiday had a decent Thanksgiving. Ours was fine. We went to a friend's place, in case you're asking. Had a great time, and enjoyed ourselves immensely, as one does when you go out and watch a little TV and eat some food and drink some beer and get into the whiskey and have a great time. I've always kind of liked the holiday. It's one of my favorites because it's truly, at least in my estimation, one of the few holidays where people are actually nice to each other. We were literally in a room full of strangers and not full of strangers. We knew some of the people there, but we made some new friends and just had a lovely time. And, you know, it occurred to me that you have to kind of relish those moments because you realize that within 24 hours, there's a good percentage of those people in that room are going to turn into complete monsters. That may not be the case. It's maybe not in that particular incident that we're, you know, where we were, but it's truly one of the last days people are nice to each other, because from that point forward, of course, is the mad dash, the rush, the swarming of the Christmas season, the holiday season, all the way to the end of the year, and people become crazy. And it's a strange kind of dichotomy of feelings, I suppose, because people are, of course, you know, very nice, and people are giving food and people are bringing stuff, and it's like, oh, here, try this out, try this. And you know, my wife and I brought the dip for a change. It's kind of a running gag, but we had that, and there were people that brought some turkey, and somebody else brought a ham, and there was vegetables, you know, the traditional fare. And pie, of course, and there was a keg of beer, and it was great. And everybody was just kind of contributing to this thing, and it was lovely. It was nice, and it's just like, God, I wish that people could be like that more through the rest of the season. Your mileage may vary, of course. Perhaps you aren't like that at all, but nevertheless, it was a nice little poignant moment there as well as such. Coming up on this episode of the program, we have music for you from our friends Loveland Duren. That's Vicky Loveland and Van Duren. They have a new album called Next. We'll play a cut off of that a little bit later on. We hope you stick around for that. And we'll be talking a little bit about something I have kind of an intimate knowledge of. And it's in regards to the broadcast industry. We'll get to that as well. Before we go any further, you know, with the heightened sense of paranoia that exists out there, We were out having lunch the other day. I'm not going to name the place because it wouldn't be right, as you'll understand. We were in the downtown area of Memphis, and there was right about the time we were wrapping up our lunch, there was a man who came off the street, and he was obviously homeless, I guess, indigent, if you will. He was very drunk. he was hammered, and he'd come in and he was, you know, starting to hassle some of the people that were sitting there. It wasn't us; we were sitting far away. And I turned to the wife and I said, hey, "I think we might be in for a show." And the gentleman who runs this particular place went over to the man and politely asked him to carry his concerns outside. Of which he threw a fit, and he didn't get violent or anything like that, but he got pissy. So the proprietor then sat this man down at a table and said, stay right there, because I'm going to have to call the police. And you're sitting there thinking, oh, great. Okay, the cops are going to show up. Now we got us a party. Now this is going to be fun. And the guy wasn't going anywhere. He was, you know, muttering under his breath about, how everybody ain't helping him out like they should. And damn this and damn that and F you and F that. And, you know, he's just a frustrated human being. I get it. But, he was asked to leave and he didn't do it. So within about 5 minutes or so, a couple of members of the Memphis Police Department showed up, and there was a man and a woman, and the man walks into the restaurant, and they came in separate cars, and of course the proprietor says, this is the gentleman here. I don't know, I use that term loosely, but here's the man right here. And the male officer was trying to get this guy out, just kind of roust him out into the street. Well, he wasn't going to have any part of this. And before things got completely out of control, the other officer walks in. This is a blonde woman. She was lovely. And she comes in, and she's kind of got somewhat of a smile on her face. She knows what she's dealing with. She's obviously a pro. And nobody in the place whipped out their phones and started videotaping. I was expecting that. I thought people were going to start, taking pictures and all that. But none of that happened. And there were people that were kind of watching this, like we were. And, we knew the situation was going to be what it was. And ultimately, the two of them, after a bit of a, I wouldn't say a struggle, but a bit of resistance, nothing got upended. And there was no spillage, there was no shouting or screaming. They get this guy to the door, and he does not want to leave. He's bound and determined to stay exactly where he was. Don't crush this man's groove. He was going to stay right there, and that was going to be it. Well, they get him outside onto the street. There's one of the police cars there, and it's the man police officer who's going to put him into his car, you see. So they got the back door open, and they've got the guy cuffed. And at this point, my wife and I had already settled up, and we were leaving. So we were standing outside with the proprietor at the front door of the place, and we're watching this go down. And as the police do, when you are under arrest, when you are being detained, if you will, and your hands are being cuffed, they go through your pockets for their own safety. They want to make sure that there's nothing there that could hurt them. Understandably so. They don't know what this guy's got, what he's capable of, what's going on. So they tell him they're going through his pockets, and he starts to put up a little bit bigger of a struggle. And it's taken the two officers to hold this guy down because he's a big dude and really drunk. And out of one of the pockets, you heard a couple of coins drop, and my wife pointed out that there were two pennies. I didn't see that, but she did. And she said, there's two pennies that came out. And the first thing that comes out of this guy's mouth is, man, they're robbing me. They are robbing me. They're robbing me. At that point, we begun to unfortunately laugh at the scene. The lady police officer who had her hands full with the dude and whatever was in his pockets, she kind of was giggling as well. So we turned on about our way and wished the proprietor the best of luck, and we left. And that was that. Fortunately, nothing serious occurred beyond that. So just a drunken guy that they had to get out of the way, and he was going to be a detriment to himself or somebody else, God forbid. So, yay, the holidays have arrived. Well, you do what you do. And this guy was claiming he was being robbed when actually they were, of course, not. Meanwhile, I was talking with the wife about this very subject the other day, and in regards to the radio industry, the broadcast industry, the certain changes that are going on, which are pretty much apparent to all of you by now, I would hope. We've been discussing it here for quite some time, off and on. And one of the things that comes to mind is the discussion of numbers. I hate this term when an advertising agent will say something like, well, what are your numbers? What are the numbers? I need the numbers. I'm not going to do anything until I know the numbers. And what they're looking for when you talk about the numbers is two things, actually. They want to see your ratings, how you compare to other radio stations, which is a very archaic method of measuring the popularity or success of a show like this or a radio station in general. Or a show on a radio station, they want to know the numbers, so they can determine whether it's beneficial to them to have their clients place advertisement within your broadcast, as you see. And what's when you delve into this, when you've been in this business as long as I have, you understand fairly quickly that the term "the numbers," which I do hate that term, as I've mentioned before, because it's a moot point. Especially now, it really is just a big moot point. Radio stations are notorious for lying about their numbers. They are going to do whatever it takes to inflate them, and they would have you believe that a radio station that broadcasts to, an area that only has, say, 100,000 people, have 10 million listeners. And it's they'll do that. Well, we need some proof of this. So they fabricate the proof. They show it. And then the advertisers are duped into spending a ridiculous amount of money to advertise on a medium where there's really, let's just take the reality of it. If there's 100,000 people in that one area, chances are about, maybe 1,000 of those people actually actively listen to an FM or AM radio. But they use the numbers as a way to determine their advertisement rates, and it becomes arbitrary after a while. I mean, it's a made up thing. There's no base in fact from any of this. And with the oncoming that's here, the ideas behind internet based broadcast shows like this, which we can track very heavily if we really wanted to. And we could see exactly what's going on. And you can be inundated with numbers. In the internet world, it's considered analytics. I'll get to that a little bit in a little bit. But, back to the numbers for a radio station. The way this works, in a way it has worked in the past, and it's based purely on what people will tell you. Or what people, and there's estimates and there's math and all of this other stuff. Let's take a look at the area of Memphis. The Memphis market here has approximately 2 million available listeners. And that considers the city, the county, and, a couple of surrounding areas. And that's about it. Maybe a little bit more. And as such, the company that does the measuring, where the radio station spends a ridiculous amount of money for this service, which is upwards of nearly $50,000 a month. It's ridiculous. Instead of asking all 2 million people what they're listening to, they only send out a percentage of what they call a diary to certain people. Or if you're one of the really lucky ones, you get what is called a people meter. And the people meter is about as big as a pager. You would wear it, and we've discussed this before. And it listens to what you're listening, and then it tracks it. And then at night, when you take it off and you charge the thing back up, it reports back to the mothership all the data that it has gathered. In a market of 2 million people, about 600 meters are deciding the fate of these radio stations and how they stack up with each other. Now, they claim to have a formula for figuring out who gets the meters and how they can weigh the information. One demographic may be weighted against another. It's a very odd, long, complicated sense of math that goes into it. And quite frankly, it's quite ridiculous. It's really kind of silly because ultimately it comes down to really nothing more than a quasi-educated guess. At best, when you ask somebody that works with Arbitron or Nielsen or whoever owns the company now, what it is that, what's their margin of error? They can't really give you that. Because they don't have that information. They can't tell you what their margin of error is, because if they did, it would show there's a nick in the armor. There's a weak point into the numbers that are there. But nevertheless, advertisers are still currently looking at, well, how one station stacks up against to another, as opposed to really what advertisement in this business really ultimately means is I have an audience, whatever the number that it may be, but these are the people that are listening. In other words, they're predominantly male, 18 to 34 years of age. We're not talking about predominantly male. I'm talking about 60 to 65% male, 18 to 34. I'm talking about Radio Memphis, by the way, because I know this one. And I kind of know what their likes, where they go to when they come to our webpage and where they go to after that, and et cetera, et cetera. So that gives me a better measuring stick to give to an advertiser, a potential advertiser, an agency, where they say, oh, well, you have these people, and I have a client that is trying to talk to these people, therefore, let us do business and make things happen. But unfortunately, it hasn't really come to that as of yet, because most agencies are still employing people that believe that AM and FM radio are the number one thing. I spoke to an agent out of, I believe it was out of Dover, Massachusetts. There was an agency out there. And they were like, well, you know, we're not really don't have anything to sell in Memphis. And I said, look, I'm not really selling Memphis, okay? What we've got here is a nationwide audience. We have listeners in all top 10 markets. You know, we're only looking for national advertisers. We're not looking for regional or local stuff. Although we do have some. This show is a good example of that. Once these people kind of get it wrapped around their head and they go, oh, well, oh, you're the internet. Oh, well, okay. Are there boobies on your website? Well, no, but there's a couple of boobs that are on the air. These are the numbers that we have. Well, I need to see the numbers. Could you write up something and tell me what you got? And I'm sitting there going, well, sure. And I could play the game. I could sit there the way it was done in FM and just lie my ass off and say, well, we've got 500 million people in the United States of America that are listening to this radio station. Which, of course, is not true. And frankly, quite impossible, since there's only about 350 million that live here. Actually, that may be the number, maybe a bit high as well. Nevertheless, that's what these people want. So you could sit there and lie about it and get all of these things out there and such as it is. Now, when you're talking about analytics, I can point specifically to several measuring tools that we use. They have downloadable spreadsheets. I can attach all this stuff and I can send it out and say, look, this is what I've got. This is where you can go from there. And the thing about the analytics, though, is this, and you got to keep this in mind, that analytics, you can really get over your head very quickly in these numbers. You can go down rabbit holes like you would not believe. You know, if you have a website, say like radio-memphis.com is another example. I know this because I work there and I see those numbers. But you can look at what page they go to, from what page to what page, how long they spend on each page, what did they click on, what did they like, what do they, you know, that kind of thing. I can get that. And then you start second guessing yourself. Well, they didn't like this and they don't like that, and oh, they like this, so I should give them. No, you don't want to do that. You just got to stick to your guns, and you keep going with what you know and feel as to be best. It has often been said in this business, and this applies to any part of show business, you do what you do. You don't worry about it. You do what you do, and eventually things come. Eventually good things will happen, because the longer you are doing it, the more of an audience you are attracting, the larger and more consistent of an audience you are attracting. Well, of course, agencies don't think like that. They're still trying to figure out, AM radio still has Rush, and, you know, Rush is still pulling in a lot of people. Which, in fact, he's not. And they want to just go with what they have been told by some sleazy salesperson in terrestrial radio. And I'm not pulling any punches by saying that. These are sleazy people that work in this. I know, because I've worked with a bunch of sleazy people. Dude, I worked for a company that needed an excuse to dump a number one rated television or a rated radio program, so they could save money, but they didn't. They couldn't do it because the numbers were so strong. They were trying to make us look bad. it's an unfortunate thing, but we were pulling in the top numbers at that time, and they were trying to say, well, oh, this show's just not pulling in the numbers that we want. Well, the numbers that they wanted ultimately was the money. That's the whole other column. You have ratings on one side, revenue on the other. That's what it boils down to, ratings and revenue. They're all tied together. But no, they had to get rid of the show because they wanted to save some money and bring in a syndicated program that they didn't have to pay anything for, so it was just easier to develop an audience with. Because on paper, it looked like a pretty good idea. Ultimately, it wasn't in their case, and they wound up, you know, looking like a bunch of animals, and it was the snake eating its own tail, ultimately. But I digress. So because the numbers were so strong, they went to the sales manager at that time and they said, don't take any money from any more clients regarding this show. Deny the sales. And the way that they did this, I'd heard this from several people that had come to me. These are business owners and agencies. They came to me and they said, what the hell is all this? What's going on over there? And I said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, you know, we've been paying X number of dollars a year in our advertising costs with you guys, and we've been very happy with that. And then they turned around and they quadrupled them or tripled them. And they knew full well that we weren't going to pay that. It's understandable that if rates per year go up, you know, 4 or 5%, 3 or 4%, something along those lines, because it that sort of mirrors the industry growth, and you try and sponsor that, you know. There was a time, a long time ago, that in the radio industry, it was expected that you would see a growth in business every year of between 8 and 12%. That's a fact. You would see that. But along comes the internet. And the internet changes all that, and it starts directing people to it. And now the business begins to drop off dramatically. And that it did, and it really hurt a lot of people. And it hurt a lot of shows. But that's just the nature of the beast. Technology came and changed the way things that we all consume, what we consume. So to come up with an excuse to gather more revenue by getting rid of live talent that was still somehow pulling in vast numbers of people listening to this thing, they denied the sales. And then they came back to everybody else and they said, look, this show's just not making any money. You guys, they actually, it was kind of odd. They told us that we were number one in one demographic, but we were not in another, and they didn't care about that demographic, which seemed ridiculous because the one that we were number one in is what it was in our contract that we targeted, of which we did. And then they said, well, you know, your contracts have been expired for a while and we've changed the rules. And that's how that shit works. So they played by the numbers. And they tried to manipulate those numbers. And the old adage comes true for anybody in broadcasting. They should understand this. If you live by those numbers, you will die by those numbers. You will die by the very same numbers that you live by. I've seen it happen. Watched it firsthand on a cataclysmic scale. Look what happened to Clear Channel. Clear Channel Memphis, I think, is probably one of the most historic cases of what had happened in the year 2011 than I think anything in broadcasting had ever occurred. I got phone calls and messages from people from other markets wanting to know what the hell happened. People I didn't even know, they were wanting to know, why? What the hell? And I told them what I had just told you. That's what they were doing. And it wasn't just here. It was happening all over the country. And it was happening in places that you wouldn't think that it would. But that's what they were doing. And then ultimately they realized their mistakes far too long after the horse is out of the barn. They'd set the barn on fire and they're trying to solve that problem. So upper management comes in and they start cleaning out middle management and lower management. Not satisfied with that, way on up the road at the higher up into the tower, those guys came down and blew out the higher management. And now they're standing there holding their cranks in their hand, wondering what the hell's going to happen next. Because the internet's just a fad. It's not going to be here. And, you know, we still have the most superior thing and the choice is clear. Shut up. You made the bed to live by those numbers and now you saw that you must die by those very numbers. It's unfortunate. It is absolutely unfortunate. But that is exactly what happened. So when it comes to you, those of you that are in this business, internet or terrestrial or whatever it is that you do, you have to be wary of those numbers. You have to be very careful of that. Like I said earlier on, I look at our analytics, I look at our numbers, but I look at them in a different fashion now. I don't dwell on them. I look as a kind of a cursory sort of checklist of things that I go through. It takes me about 10, 15 minutes to go through what I need to know. Because that's what's important to me, and I believe the life of this show and the life of the show I do at Radio Memphis and as of the station itself. And there's no sense in sitting down and having these meetings and beating ourselves over the head with these numbers when we realize that it really is a moot point. You have to go where your audience is going. You have to be there. You have to be there for them. You have to be there before they get there. That's... that was one of the things that attracted to me most about an internet radio station, was that I knew we were ahead of the curve when we built it. But we did it anyway because we knew that it eventually folks would find it. And here we were this whole time. 5.5 years later, we're still on the air. It's been a struggle. It's been a labor of love. It's been an absolute joy. And it's been a complete headache and fraught with pain and fighting and screaming and yelling, and also with lots and lots of joy. And I wouldn't trade the experience for anything else in the world, because it's taught me a lot of things. And one of the most important that I've learned was how not to just get bogged down in that. I see this all the time. Reddit is a great website, and there's a subreddit for podcasters that are in there. I think it's called Podcasts. And you always know, the new guys, they show up and they're asking questions because they figure that subreddit is filled with people that have done this a while, and they're looking for some advice and some tips. And they seem concerned that, you know, 3 episodes in, they only have, 10 people that have downloaded their show. And, I've jumped in and said, look, we've been at this for 146 weeks consistently. And we still haven't figured out exactly what the hell's going on. You just got to keep doing it. You got to kind of stir the pot a little bit every once in a while. If one particular thing ain't working, try something different. I mean, we've seen the changes. Those of you who have been listening to this all these years understand, all these years, like I've done this that long, it's with 3 years of this show. But those of you who have been doing this have probably, and you can go back all the way to the very first episode if you choose. There's a vast difference in the way the show was produced then as the way it is now. Now we've trimmed it down. We've got it pretty clean. And instead of those annoying, ads, because see, everybody's doing the ads now in the podcast world. They're doing those ads where, you direct somebody to a particular website and you have to use an offer code that relates back to you. So the advertiser then knows where that traffic came from, and then they pay you based off of that. Well, that's bullshit. That's wrong. I don't agree with that at all, because they're getting free advertisement without the use of that damn code. Because a lot of people aren't going to use the damn code, but you're still driving people to their business. And I think it's ridiculous. So, we've changed our tack a little bit. Now we're doing something different. We are running actual commercials within this program. They're only 30 seconds, but they make this show possible. And that's how that works. And guess what? We've discovered that we're pretty much the only ones doing that sort of thing. Is it right? I don't know. Is it wrong? I don't know. Is it going to work? Maybe. Maybe not. But you got to keep trying and doing what you do. And that's why I enjoy sitting here week after week after week, either bitching about one thing or another, or telling you a story, or playing you a song, ranting about this, that, or the other. This particular episode was really nothing more than an explanatory on how this whole thing works behind the scenes and what people are interested as far as when it comes to the money behind these things. It's a fascinating look. I could go on for days with this sort of thing, but I'm not, because, quite frankly, I'm a little tired. Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Gifts and smoking accessories are on sale right now at reduced prices, including a large selection of Woodwick candles, vaporizers from Puff King, Grenco, Wolf, and Stealth Hybrid, shirts, hats, and adult novelty gifts. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Jesus H. Christ, the holidays got to us again, and we didn't produce another episode that usually goes behind this one that you're hearing now. That's no big deal. I'll just sit down and we'll do another one, and we'll get caught up eventually with the holiday madness and all that. Speaking of Jesus H. Christ, you know what the H stands for? Hoobastank. Remember the band Hoobastank from, was it the late 80s, early 90s? Early 90s, I guess it was. That's what they claimed, the H, Hoobastank. Jesus Hoobastank Christ. Please. Nevertheless, we'll sit down. We'll do it again here soon. We'll get caught up and try and be kind to each other during the holidays. And if you need a sense of grounding, well, that's what I'm here for. You can use me as a way to get this frustration off of your mind. It's a good thing. So, just use me. Plus, next week, music from the Fast Mothers.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
I kid you, heard that, next week I'm not really doing much of anything. We got the holidays just kind of get to us when we're putting all this stuff together, and you know, life happens, and it's happened at a pretty rapid pace that a lot of us are trying to keep up with, and it's a lot of it. It's my fault. I allow myself to get bogged down and stuff, and that's something too. I think I probably should work on is. You know, in this country, it seems like we spend a lot of time bragging about how hard we all work, and it's ludicrous. It really is. It's silly because we sit there and we hear people go, "Oh, you know, you can't talk to me, bro. I work 85 hours a week." Hey, yeah, buddy, man, look at me. Yeah, look at you with the hypertension. Look at you with all that gray hair. Look at you with the shitty diet. Look at you chasing that dollar all the way to the grave. It's, you know, I understand that you have to work hard, but you also have to learn to work smart. And that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm not into New Year's resolutions. I think they're kind of horseshit, but I do think, and this may be a sort of an exception to the rule, I'm going to try not to work so damn hard. Take a moment and not feel guilty about being able to sit down and watch a movie without going, "Oh shit, I got to go check on something," or being able to go out to a bar or something one evening every once in a while and have a few drinks without having to freak out. You know, maybe, oh God forbid, I should take a day off. It just, unfortunately, right now I can't really get there, but we're getting there, close to it. But you know, you have to do it. You have to do that for yourself, or you're just gonna lose your marbles. It really is. So, I don't know. We'll see. Hey, let's get into some music, shall we? These are some sweet people. We love them to death. These guys have been playing in Memphis for many, many years. They are a lot of fun. They've got a brand new record. I think this is their second effort together. You can find it wherever sold. The act is called Loveland Duren. And it's composed of two singers, Vicky Loveland and Van Duren. These two have been, like I said, they've been around. They play a lot here around town. They've got a standing gig at a couple of places. Look for them online. Loveland Duren. They've got a great, really kind of a neat, fun sound. It's kind of adult. It's what I like about it. It's adult contemporary, if you like. It's not so much rock and roll. It's not easy listening. It's good fun. It's good adult contemporary, and I think you'll like it. This is from their brand new record. It just came out. It's called Next. Here's the song, Baby, Let's Rent. This is Loveland and Duren from Radioland.
Living, there's nothing we lack. let's rent. Oh, come on, let's rent. We're your chat line. Download some fun. You can buy anyone.
There you go, baby. Let's rent. Loveland Duran. I think I said Loveland and Duran before the song. No, it's Loveland Duran. Vicki Loveland, Van Duren. You can find them online. Search them out. Get the record. It's called Next. It's a great record. There's a lot of fine tunes on this thing. It's personally one of our favorites here. Baby Let's Rent. Wanted to play that here for you on this episode from Radioland. Next week, as you heard, we'll be doing something. And plus, we have music from the Fast Mothers. So that's a good thing there. How about that? So in the meantime, prepare yourselves for the incoming, the impending doom that is the 1st of December. When the holidays turn into complete madness and the war on Christmas goes into full swing. I got a comment, by the way. Thank you for reminding me of this. Radioland at PirateRadioStudios.com. A listener wrote that the war on Christmas was in fact real. And I thought, well, where's the battleships? Where's the army? Who's getting worked up? You know, that I should have more compassion for people that are worked up about their holiday being stolen from them. Who's stealing it? Really? Who gives a shit? If you want to celebrate Christmas, celebrate Christmas. If you want to celebrate Hanukkah, celebrate Hanukkah. If you want to celebrate whatever the fuck you want to celebrate, celebrate it. But don't run it down everybody else's throat. You people have no idea what I like to celebrate. Some of you would be deeply shocked by that. Then again, some of you would sit there going, yeah, well, you know, nothing surprises me, Rick. Look, I got to go. I got to get out of here. Y'all take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. And for God's sakes, please, people, stop shooting each other. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.